Well, this is just so good. It's like a big pork chop, a big hamburger, ribs. I don't know, whatever you like, that's what this is to me. And confessing the word of God, affirming the word of God will change your life. If you get this down in your spirit, man, because the word of God, your confession controls you. It influences your spirit. It leads you. What does it say? Guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. Some translations say your thoughts run your life. Because the more you think on it, the more it'll come right up out of your heart. And you'll go, where'd that come from? Because you've been thinking about it. And so if you want to talk about, oh, woe is me, that's what you're going to live. That's what you're going to have. But you need to speak what you desire. You need to speak the promises of God. You know, I was reading something this morning by E.W. Kenyon. He said there are two confessions. There's the confession of the heart, and there's the confession of the lips. And I went, huh. And he said, and when those two confessions harmonize, he said, then, and it agrees with the word of God, change happens. Because you can say some stuff, you can have a confession out of your heart, and then your lips might say something else. Because it comes out of your head. But when the lips agree with the words coming out of your heart, and it's the word of God, whew, nothing is impossible with God. I'm telling you. You know, these things I have, you know, other people, I just don't know why, but from a young man, words meant something to me. And when I got saved, it was what I began to gravitate. One of the very first article that I read when I was going to an Assembly of God church, Pastor John Lipscomb, God bless him in heaven, shouting with the utterbugs. And that was the first church I went to that's where I got saved. He led me to the Lord. Wonderful Assembly of God Church down in Wyckoff, New Jersey. And he was, you know, that was back in the late 70s when I got saved. And I remember at that time, you know, the word of faith was becoming popular. Brother Hagin was teaching. You had Oral Roberts. You had others teaching. Many men and women of God, but he became well known. And the Word of Faith magazine was getting out in people's hands. And I remember Pastor John, he was kind of struggling with this message of faith and walking by faith. And God bless him, he took the Word of Faith magazine and made copies and put it at the back of the church, little church. And I remember the first article I looked, I said, oh, I gotta get this. And he made copies. It was called Words by Brother Hagin. Whew, what an impact. So you never know what message, what article. You know, a lot of times if God has prompted you to write or do something, do it, because you don't know what impact that will have on somebody. You don't know. So it had a big impact, and that kind of started me down a path. But this message today, just possession follows your confession. Or confession creates realities, or confession does what? Confession will cause possession, or you could say possession follows confession. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, last week we were sharing that little, from that little mini book by Brother Hagin, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And he said in there, he said that the Lord Jesus appeared to him when he was ministering in a church in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said he was standing at the pulpit, and then the Lord in prayer had showed him how to minister to a gentleman. And he said while he was doing, he said the Lord Jesus appeared to him right in front of the pulpit. He said nobody saw him but me. And after he shared something with him, and then he was getting ready to leave, he turned around and walked away, and he said, I have a question for you. So he asked a question, and then the Lord said to him, write down 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said, if anyone anywhere will follow and do these four steps, they will receive whatever they need or desire from God and me. God the Father and me. He said, anybody anywhere, if you follow these four steps. What were those four steps? Everybody remember? Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. And so those four steps he began to show him were in that account of the woman with the issue of blood. And so she did what? She said it. And the Amplified says she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment. She heard of Jesus. What did she hear? He heals. And she heard, and of course at that time she was unclean. She had an issue of blood. And in that society, in that time, if you had an issue of blood, you were unclean. And the accounts were that if you got out in public, you had to yell unclean, unclean, and you couldn't be out in public. But she was. And she took her life in her hands, because if she got caught, they would have stoned her. But she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And then what did it say? She left her home and went to where Jesus was, pressed her way through the crowd. You know, I remember years back when there was a few of the trips I went on when we went as a church to Israel. I remember one of those trips, we went through the old city, and there were, I'm telling you, I want to say thousands, but it was like, just get a picture, if anybody's been down at Times Square on New Year's Eve, it's a press. I mean, I haven't been there, but I've been down in the subway when they let the Thanksgiving Day parade, the Macy's Day parade was dismissed, and I'm down here going, why did I do this? I mean, I'm pressed on every side. I couldn't breathe. You couldn't move. And I'm sure that's exactly how that woman was. When we went through that old city that day, you were grabbing your fanny pack. You were grabbing everything. You were pressed on every side. You were just moving with the crowd. And this woman, it said, she pressed her way through and touched the hem of his garment. She may, we don't know, doesn't say, she may have been on the ground crawling, who knows? Don't know. But it said when she touched him, virtue left his body. So what did that mean? Possession followed her confession. She didn't receive until she did something, went to where he was, and touched him, and her faith, her confession of faith, did what? Reactivated the power of God. And what did Jesus say? Who touched me? Virtue, power has left me. So possession, her healing, followed her confession. And we always need to remember that we need to decree what's been promised to us. We have a covenant with Almighty God in this area. We have a covenant of healing. Amen. Sealed in the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And he watches over it.
Right.
So our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared. You need to constantly decree and declare what God is in Christ and what we are before the Father in Christ. You know, I'm reminded, and I'm just sharing some thoughts here, I'm reminded when Love Christian Academy was in session here many years ago, Pastor Sarah penned a confession that those young children confessed every day. God is alive and well. We still have copies of that. We'll probably put that out. But those young children would confess that every single day. They would affirm that. And it made a difference in some of their lives. I'm sure today, some of them may still remember it, or portions of it. But it was based on the Word of God. And when you affirm, you know, I say this, when you talk about, when you confirm or affirm your trials and difficulties, your lack of faith, your lack of money, then your faith shrivels. But when you talk about God's ability in you and you fill your mouth with praise, then faith grows. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus said to Brother Hagin. He said, the woman with the issue of blood got what she confessed. And he said, if she had confessed negative or positive, that's what she would have gotten. And so the Lord keeps reminding us that we need to watch this area of our lives. And Romans, I would say this, faith always takes hold of the impossible. Faith takes hold of things it can't see. Things that seem impossible, faith takes hold of that. And faith, this is Romans 8:32 in the Amplified Classic, says, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? It's a matter of you believing for it. And the same thing in verse 37 in the Amplified Classic, it says, yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. So we are to do what? Hold fast the what? The profession of our faith without what? Wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. I shared this last week. I love some of these little sayings that sometimes I'll hear Mark Hankin share this. He said, if you don't move your mouth, you won't move your mountain. If you don't move your mouth, you won't move your mountain. That goes good or bad. If you don't move your mouth, you won't see those blessings of God. They're available. They're paid for. But you're going to have to decree that they're mine. And I walk in them. And your mind might be saying, that's crazy. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got zip. And you say, yes, I do. The blood of Jesus is paid for it. It's mine. And I command it to come. I walk in it. You know, Friday, I was so blessed. I went up to Pennsylvania Friday night for prayer with that congregation. And they had a time with the youth also. And one of the ladies that's been coming for a while, I mean, we've known them for a while, and they live in the gated community next to our property. We were talking about prayer, and she said, I want to share this. I never heard it. Man, I mean, I was ready to shout. And this is what I'll talk about, affirmations. We walked through with this family. They're, let's see now, how old is Gary? Gary's about 20-something at this point, 21, 22. And we walked for a number of years with them. He had a sickle cell issue. And, you know, he was very young at the time. He was about, I'm thinking this might be 6 years ago, so he might have been 15, 16, somewhere in that area, young boy. And just, man, I mean, just beat up with this symptom. And so they got to the place where they wanted to do, you know, a bone marrow transplant, so they went down to Philly. We walked through with them with that. Prayed with them, believed with them. And they did one operation, because with that, they have to literally give you whatever, you know, to block your immune system. Your whole immune system has to be shut down in order for you to receive somebody else's bone marrow to fix the problem. So he goes through this in the hospital, young kid. It was horrible. I mean, he was in this area. Everybody around him is dying. This is a young kid. We walk through, believe with them. First plant transplant didn't take. Discouraging. Keep your faith up. And so finally, what ended up happening was his dad's marrow was a match. That took. But still, walking through the process, in and out of the hospital. And so we walked through with her, with that, and that family. Believing God, trusting every step of the way. So this is what she shared Friday. I hadn't heard her tell this. Man, I'm telling you, I was like, bah. Oh, it was so good. I'm telling you. She said, Pastor, she said, I got a call, and the doctor said, Gary's got to come to the hospital immediately based on the blood work we've seen. This wasn't that long ago. And she said, I had had enough. I said, when you get to the place where you've had enough, whew. She said, I had had enough. And she said, I'm praying about this. And they said, you've got to bring your son in. She didn't respond. She said, I'm praying about it. Oh yeah, these watches. You do something and they think something. They think something negative. She said, I've had enough. And she said, I told the doctors, I'm praying about that. You need to get him in based on the blood work. I said, all right. So she took him in and they said, we've got to admit him. And this is what she said. You can run whatever test you want, but we're going home tonight. Whew. And she had that real kind of quiet lady. But she said, I had enough. And I told the doctor, you can run all the tests you want, but we are going home tonight. And the doctor said, ma'am, that may not happen. That's not a good idea. Blah, blah, blah. She said, we're going home tonight. So they ran all the tests, did what they did. She's waiting, going, what's going on? The nurse comes out and says to her, I don't know what you're doing, but his blood is perfect. I'm telling you, when you have had enough, you will start, what did Pastor Sarah say? What do you get when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste? Something comes out. When you get squeezed and you've had enough, I'm telling you, when the word comes out, you decree it's going this way. I got so blessed Friday night, I'm telling you, it was just, whew. And she shared another testimony. You know, I mean, she shared this, and then, of course, the nurse came out and said, I don't know who you're praying to, but you keep doing it. And then, you know how doctors can be. He just went, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Some, I don't want to call it some snippy kind of answer, didn't want to acknowledge, because she got up in his face and said, we're going home tonight. And it happened, and he had to, as they say, eat crow. You know what I'm saying? He was probably embarrassed. God was exalted. Jesus was exalted. And then she said, I have another testimony. She said, they wanted Gary to go into the hospital. And I mean, this is serious stuff. Nothing to play with. It's deadly. So this was after he had all these transplants and everything. His face was blowing up. And they didn't know why. And I said, he's got to go in immediately. And they brought him in. They brought him, I don't know, Philly or wherever. And so they said, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff she was faced with. Maybe your face. The doctor said, we're going to have to do an operation to his face. Something. Whatever. We're going to have to do an operation. And then they said, well, the effect could be he could lose his sight, he could lose this, da 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 ba ba, all this really nasty stuff. And she said, I'm praying about this. I'll let you know. And she said, they pressured her. They pressed her to do this operation. Pressed her. You know how doctors can be in hospitals. You have to do this. And she said, I'm praying about it. And this is what she said. I'm telling you. She said the Holy Ghost told her to take a picture of his face because it was swollen. Take a picture the next day. 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 And she said, when they kept pressing her to do this, she said, I want to show you these pictures. And from this day to this day to this day to this day to this day, they saw in picture form his face going down. And they said, well, I guess we don't need to do the operation. See what I'm saying? The wisdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The foolishness of man confounds. It's confounded. The wisdom of God is foolishness sometimes. I tell you, she had these stories. I mean, I was so blessed. Because I'm telling you, we walked with that family, and the pressure, I mean, there were times Gary didn't look good. He didn't look good. And we believed with them every step of the way. Literally walked through hell with that. But I'm telling you, her affirmations of the Word of God got her through. I'm telling you, it was so exciting to me because I said, she's gotten a hold and she's lived it and walked through it. And she's seeing her words causing victory in her life. She's living it. So as we were sharing, you need to fearlessly, that's what she did. She took her position in Christ fearlessly and confessed the word of God, confessed what she was going to have. And I'll tell you, a lot of times when we get tired enough of things in your life, in your family, in your society, in your neighborhood, when you get tired enough of it, you'll start releasing words. You'll start walking in the dominion and authority that's already yours. You'll start saying, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going this way. It is not going to be this way. And when the church, that's why the devil tries to keep the church divided, because when there's unity, there's power. And he keeps hitting buttons where we don't work together. And he don't want it. So, Philippians, we need to stand firm in our faith and affirmations. This is the New International Version. Philippians 1:27 in the New International and 28. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. So God is saying through his word, we need to stand firm. In Colossians, this is the Amplified Classic, Colossians 2:5. It says, for though I am away from you in body, yet I am with you in spirit, delighted at the sight of your standing shoulder to shoulder in such orderly array, and the firmness and the solid front and steadfastness of your faith in Christ, that leaning of the entire human personality on him, an absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Remember, greater is he, 1 John 4:4. Greater, say greater. Greater is who? He that is in where? Me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's greater. That means there isn't anything I face that I won't know how to deal with it. There isn't anything I face that I can't overcome, I can't walk through. That was just what Nadia was sharing on, walking through these things, the greater one in her, giving her the wisdom and the know-how, what to say, what to do. When you're got people in your face, standing right there, you got to do this. You need to do this. And Nadia is such a sweetheart. She's just so quiet. Well, you know, I'm praying about this. But I'm telling you, I've never seen her this firm. She's always so sweet. She said, I had had enough. Who was her child? She had had enough. She said, it's going this way. And I said, yeah. That's the way it needs to be. We've been given dominion and authority over far above. We're seated where? Far above. Say far above. I am seated far above principalities, powers and the rulers of darkness in him, in Christ. Now, you know, your flesh and things you experience don't really represent that. You know, you're feeling kind of lowly. But I'm telling you, the more you affirm, you're going to go, no, no. You're the defeated one. I have the victory in his name. And you need to do what? Speak the word of God. Speak the way it's going to happen, the way it's going to change. You know, I think sometimes we think that our words sometimes are falling on deaf ears. But the scripture is very clear. 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says what? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. You know, I'm thinking, you know that other saying, you know, you're growing up, you know, some, you know, they say that saying, silence is golden. Yeah, that's true if you're talking negative. But you need to be saying things. You need to be speaking the word of God. You need to be speaking what you desire. I wish above what? All things that you what? You may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Let's look at this for a few moments. This is Abraham's faith. Romans 4, starting in verse 17. This is a New Living Translation. And I'm just going to look at a few of those verses, 17 through 25. But this is Abraham. When God told him in the book of Genesis, go offer up your son. And what do we read in verse 17? It says, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham did what? He kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Now, this is so good here, verse 23. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins and was raised to life to make us right with God. We need to affirm. We need to say, I'm a new person. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed. You know, sometimes we need to get back to basics. When we're faced with issues in life, we need to say that because faith comes. It it stirs our faith. When we're faced with things, your flesh and your mind is saying other things. And you need to remind you and the devil and your body and your money.
Yes.
Don't say, I can't. Get that out of your vocabulary. When you say, I can't be healed, say, no, I can be healed because himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I have been healed. Not going to be, I've already got it. And you keep affirming that, just like the woman with the issue of blood. I am healed. I have been. And the healing power of God is working. It's working. It's working. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when your finances don't look like it. You need to affirm what his covenant promise says. He has covenanted himself with us. In the blood of Jesus. When you say, I can't afford something, I can't pay my bills, then what does it mean when he says, I'll supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? If I sow my seed, I can expect to reap a harvest. No, my need is met. And even when it doesn't look like it, you say, my bank accounts are full, they're running over, and I look for opportunities to sow into the kingdom of God. And you affirm the covenant promises of God. You confess the things that you believe. You affirm the things that you believe. People are affirming all kinds of junk. That's why the world wants to get you to change your opinion about something and do what? Affirm it. Because when you affirm things that are not of God, you open the door to let the devil come in and do what? Establish something. Because what are you doing? You are affirming him and his words. Things that are not of God. And we just kind of think about that. We're like, well, it's just words. No, they're words that if spoken in faith will change something. Positive or negative. And the more you keep talking negative, you'll establish that. And the more we speak the word of God, we'll establish that. And so the Lord keeps reminding us, watch your words. So what does he say? He said, Matthew 18 and 18. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid, this is the Amplified Classic, Matthew 18. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. He's telling us to do that. So when we see something that's forbidden in heaven, then we're to do what? Forbid it. And what is already, and he said, whatever you permit or declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So again, what have we been saying? Faith is what? Voice activated. You've got to activate the word of God with your words. You've got to speak it. If you don't like the conditions in your life, if you don't like the conditions that you're faced with, speak to them. You decree and command them to change. What did Jesus say? He said in Mark 11, 22 and 23, he said, have faith in God. And his disciples said, oh, Master, look at the tree you cursed. He said, have faith in God. And then he said, whosoever, that means me, that means you, whosoever what shall say unto this mountain, could be your health, could be your finances, could be your family, could be whatever the circumstances. If it's a mountain, then you have to say unto that mountain, what? Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And what? You shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say. When Jesus said that, when he said, you shall have what you say, he's covenanting himself with us. He's watching over his word to perform it. When I say something and believe it, and it's in accordance with something he's promised, he will see to it that it comes to pass. He will change the circumstances. Supernaturally, they'll change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The impossible will change. Yes. Mountains will move.
Yes.
Doors will open that were closed. Bodies will change that seem to be impossible to change.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But we've got to believe and say. That's just what it is. Hallelujah. So we need to what? Affirm constantly. And your possessions, or the things that you possess, follow your confession. No confession, no possession. A lot of times, you know, we've all gone through, I've shared in the past, I would bring my tithe. I, as a young man, I started to decree words every day as a young man concerning my health and my body, and walk in it. I can't even remember the last time I took a medicine. Can't even remember it. The last time, the only time in 30 or 40 years was when I took that fall off that ladder. I had to go in, you know, and even then, I decreed some things. Because I fell off that ladder 8 or 9 feet, my face hit the ground. I did a face plant on blacktop and the ladder. And I'm telling you, when I was in that ambulance going to the hospital, I heard down here, I heard it softly, not loud, but softly, no permanent damage, quick recovery. And I began to decree, I decreed, I said, I will have a quick recovery, no broken bones, no permanent damage. And so, you know, they do what they do, take all the x-rays and all of that stuff. And then they, you know, they said, well, we have to take you to a trauma center up in Allentown because of what we see, blah, blah, blah. So there were broken bones in the face and the jaw and the cheek. I kept speaking the word, kept speaking. No pain, I didn't have any pain. And after about, what was it? That was on a Friday. I was out of the pulpit on a Sunday. And that Wednesday, that was the same time. You know, the devil was just acting up. And Pastor Greg had some symptoms, so he was going to drive me to Allentown. I said, no big deal, I'll drive. So I drove. It was a snowstorm. I drove up to Allentown, I don't know, 100 and some miles. And so when I got there, I went 2 days in a row. First, it was to a plastic surgeon. He said, nah, you don't need anything. Just let it heal up. I said, good. Next day, I went to a oral surgeon because this part of the jaw was broken. And he said, let me take some x-rays. And I let me just take these. So I just stood there and they do this 360 thing. I sit down. He didn't say hello because the nurse did it. He comes in. He didn't even say hello. Greetings, I'm Dr. So-and-so. He walks over, he looks at the x-ray. First words out of his mouth, this exactly, with excitement. Wow, this is amazing. This looks nothing like the x-rays I got from the hospital. I went, exactly. I've been speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. Bones are mending. And he said to me, nah, he said, you don't, because he was thinking about doing surgery. Nope, he said, you don't need it. Just let it heal up. It'll be fine. And I said, thank you. See ya. And off we went. You got to speak the word. No matter what you face, whatever happens, whatever uncomfortable thing you're in, whatever you find, speak the word, affirm the promises of God. It, your faith-filled words will change things. Change your body, change your finances, change your circumstances. It will change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is what? Faithful that promised. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that it is settled in heaven. And we thank you that you watch over it to perform it. And as the rain cometh down and returneth not thither, we thank you that the word that has come shall produce. And we thank you that the word in our hearts, watered and spoken in faith, change the impossible. And we thank you for it. Thank you for watching over your word to perform it. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I would just keep sharing with you. Keep speaking regardless of what you face in life. Just keep speaking the word and things will change. Hallelujah. If you're here today, and just before we dismiss, if you're here today, you know that the return of Christ is so close. It's so close. And if you don't believe in your heart and do what? Say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, you won't be saved. That is the condition. Real simple. Believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. And he was raised from the dead. His resurrection was my resurrection. And so if you're here today, I would encourage you, or you're watching online, I would encourage you, don't leave this room without asking him into your heart. So if you're here today, just say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. I thank you that Jesus took my sins, and I believe that he took them to hell, and when he was raised, so was I. And I receive him now as my Savior. And I confess that and believe it in my heart. I receive your eternal life. Thank you that your Spirit has come to live inside of me, and I am a new person in Christ, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If you said that simple prayer and you meant that from your heart, then you got born again. This is not about church membership or church attendance. This is about having your access to heaven when you leave this earth, or you're caught up with him when he comes. You will be with him forever in heaven. And we don't want anybody to miss out. So if you're here today, we'll have some free information to give you. And if you're watching online, you can certainly contact us. You can write us or call us or email us, and we'll send you that free information. Glory to God.